All right, and if you missed us, we are back. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cam Lynch. You can go and follow him at Cameron Lynch 50. You can follow me at JK Bogan on socials. That includes Twitter or X or whatever the hell you want to call it, Instagram and so forth. But Cam, we are back and we're ready to talk about the Rams and Eagles. But before we do that, we have to bring on our special guest, Simone Stanley, who you can find at Simone_Stanley on Twitter. She was fantastic. You are going to absolutely love her. And man, does she know her stuff. She is a fellow YouTuber like myself, absolutely killing the game. She covers everything in the sports world. She's been on MLB Network. Like, she's doing everything.
She's solid. She went to NC State. I went to Syracuse. So before we recorded with her, we were like, hey, there's some beef here between our universities. But no, she was a great person to have on the show talking about the Eagles. She gave us great perspective. We were able to talk a little smack too. So looking forward to folks listening to that.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Cam, before we dive into that, we got to pay some bills. So first off, where can our listeners go if they want to play Pick'em or fantasy football? Because it is that time, man. It's that time.
Yeah, it is that time. So you can start playing fantasy football on Underdog Fantasy today. Jay, users will receive 100% deposit match up to $100 if they use our promo code Believe in Rams. It's up at the top right corner of the show there at sign up, and you can click the link in the description to get started today, Jay, not tomorrow.
today. Link up at the top. Now we got a really awesome graphic from Underdog Fantasy, and also we got to just throw it out right now that BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting options in your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website today, use your mobile device, sign up, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So Cam, that's it. That's all we got for you guys. That's the end of the show. No, I'm kidding. Now, enjoy our little shindig with Simone Stanley as we preview the Rams and Eagles Week 5 matchup.
Woo! Almost Rams.
All right, welcome back in. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cam Lynch. And today we have our very special guest, Simone Stanley, who's killing it on YouTube, fellow YouTuber. And, I mean, you're doing a bunch of stuff, but you're also covering the Eagles, who the Rams do have this Week 5 this weekend. You know, a lot of respect, I think, between the two teams.
Absolutely. And,
you know, there's no bad blood here. But, man, both teams, obviously, Eagles are looking to stay undefeated. And the Rams are looking not to go, you know, below 500 again. They'd like to not be there. So how's it going, Simone?
Everything is going pretty good. As you all know, we are undefeated, but we're not getting the respect I feel like we should deserve from around the league. I know you guys see everybody talking about our close game. So going against the Rams, unfortunately for you guys, this has to be a statement game for the Eagles. We have to remind the league why we are the NFC champs. So hopefully we can do it on y'all Rams.
I love the smoke. I love the early smoke. And this segment, I told you before we hopped on, we're going to change this up a little bit. But we're going to call this two punches then the knockout, right? The essentially three keys to victory. What does that look like for the Eagles to beat the Rams? I know we're on a Believe in Rams show, but it's nice to have a different perspective, right? Because there's going to be some Rams fans that are going to be in the crowd or watching the game with some other Eagles fans, and they should know what to expect from an Eagles fan. So, Simone, feel free to share with us some of those keys to victory for the Eagles.
So one is Jalen Hurts just came off one of his best games against the Washington Commanders. So did A.J. Brown. I know you guys saw that week two scuffle between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. A.J. wanted more targets. He said that's not what the scuffle was about, but we know that's what the scuffle was about. But since then, A.J. Brown, he's been playing phenomenal. And one of you guys is cornerbacks, Witherspoon, I believe. He was with the Steelers last year. He was one of the guys A.J. got the – taunting call
again. There's drama.
Right, some more drama. So he scored two touchdowns on Witherspoon. So hopefully that's a matchup we can pick apart. But I do not want Jaylen to be force feeding AJ Brown just because it is a favorable matchup. We do see sometimes since that interaction, Jalen Hurts wants to get the ball to AJ when, you know, other guys are open for more advantageous plays. So one key would definitely be to continue to get the passing game going. It wasn't going early, but last week it was looking good. We have another favorable matchup with Witherspoon. Another key will be, of course, holding up against Aaron Donald, y'all, big record there. That's the guy we keep talking about this week. Yeah. Aaron Donald, of course, is a force, but I'm not too worried. I hope y'all don't take that as disrespect because, you know, we're bringing the number one.
Talk your stuff. This is that time to talk your stuff.
But everyone told us that, you know, oh, we're not going to be able to run the ball against Vita Vea and the Bucks. And DeAndre Swift had over 120 rushing yards against the Bucks. We held up against them. Then they said we're not going to be able to run the ball on Washington with their ferocious front line. So we held up against Washington with one of our starting guards. Our right guard, Cam Jurgens, was hurt that game. So Sua Opeta, a depth piece, had to come in that game. And he held up against that Washington front, which you guys know is ferocious. So I think we'll do fine containing Aaron Donald. We, the offensive line had last week and the week against the Bucks, were playing their best. A lot of time for Jalen Hurts in the pocket, a lot of phenomenal run blocking. Dallas Goedert has been doing a great job helping out run blocking for us. So I think we'll be able to run the ball on you guys. I think we'll be able to protect for Jalen, but that's going to be key. And lastly, not letting Matthew Stafford pick us apart. So I'm sure you guys saw the score against Washington. It's Sam Howell. I actually had to go and delete videos talking about Sam Howell. This offseason, I was talking crazy about Sam Howell.
We were too, kind of. We were too, kind of.
So I'm sure Jake knows how, you know, old takes could get exposed. So.
Oh, yeah.
After the first quarter of Eagles Washington, I had to go back in my library, delete videos so they couldn't come back talking about me because Sam Howell is looking amazing against us. Now, that is a divisional game. You know, Washington is always going to turn up against us. They always coming for blood. Eric Bieniemy is a phenomenal play caller, but so is Sean McVay. But I don't think people know this because they love hating on the Eagles. They never want to, like, give us our just due. We are down four starters on defense. We're down three starters in the secondary. So, of course, Sam Howell and Scary Terry are going to have a day against us. You know what I'm saying? Yep. But one problem, though, is the defensive front wasn't hitting home. We were getting pressure on Sam Howell, but Sam Howell was performing well under that pressure. Like, we didn't hit home. He was going to escape, roll out the pocket. He was going to dump it off. Of course, Scary Terry was eating up Slay, but that's always a bad matchup. But I know Matthew Stafford doesn't have the legs that Sam Howell has, but we know he has the arm. And if we give Sam Matthew Stafford too much time in the pocket, if we're not hitting home, those DBs, our safeties, they're going to start to fold. And I know he's going to be able to pick us apart. That's my fantasy quarterback. I've seen what Matthew Stafford has been doing. So I think that's my biggest keys is hitting home, not letting Matthew Stafford have too much time because we know he can dump it off. He can find someone late. Containing Aaron Donald.
Sorry.
Yeah. You said Puka?
Puka Nacua, yeah.
Yes, like everybody's talking about Puka. I'm scared. And then y'all might get Cooper Kupp back. So I'm like, okay, you know, yeah. If defense is looking like what it looked like last week, it might unfortunately be a shootout, but you know, I'm gonna take Jalen Hurts in a shootout. That's just me.
Jake, what are your thoughts, Jake? And Simone, thank you for not holding back those punches. We need that as Rams fans. We need that just to get ready for what's to come. But Jake, what thoughts do you have on the keys to victory for the Rams?
Well, first off, I gotta say, Rams fans are forever indebted that the Eagles knocked out the Niners before the Super Bowl. So let's just get that out of the way right now. There's a lot of respect there. I've been a huge fan of Jalen Hurts. I think he's an incredible quarterback, and I don't think he was fully healthy, and I think he's starting to get back to his old self. And I saw that last week when I watched the game. DeAndre Swift is looking like a really bad trade for the Lions. I think they gave up on him too quickly. They never used him. They kind of, you know, went along with that injury prone label, and the Eagles have just been running the ball like crazy with him. And we've been talking about it too, Cam. Like he looks really good. AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, it's one of the best duos in all of football. Then you look at the defense, and I really just don't see how anyone can really run the ball effectively against guys like Jordan Davis. And, you know, you talk about the rookie Jalen Carter, who looks like, I think, the closest thing we've seen to like an Aaron Donald coming out of the draft. I mean, just an unbelievable player. No idea how he fell the way he did, but he did. Fletcher Cox, Josh Sweat, somebody I've been a fan of for a while, actually. And then you get Hassan Reddick last year, who I wanted. I didn't want the Rams to hold out for Von Miller. I wanted Hassan Reddick, but I know he's from that area because he went to Temple. So, you know, good fit there. But I think the secondary, and you kind of mentioned it, is, you know, it is that weakness. It is that chink in the armor, if you will, because you look at this team and you're like, they got an outstanding offense. They got an outstanding offensive line. I mean, Mailata was just such a bargain to find him in the seventh round in 2018, just an absolute stud. But then you talk about Lane Johnson, arguably the best right tackle in football. You got Landon Dickerson, a guy who's probably a first round talent that falls because of the injuries. So, you know, they have guys all over the place, and they still have a really good front seven. Like, their linebackers are good as well. I think people kind of sleep a little bit on Zach Cunningham because things didn't go well after he left Houston, kind of bounced around Tennessee a little bit. But that secondary still has talent. It's just, you know, they're off to a bad start, so to speak, this year. Slow start. I look at the Rams, and I think their key to victory here is they're going to have to throw the ball to open up the run game. They are going to have to take advantage of, you know, Puka Nacua, potentially Cooper Kupp, who is really pushing to play. They're going to have to take advantage of that. And what I think that's going to do is open up something we haven't seen this year. And everyone's talking about what happens, how do you get Puka Nacua targets and all that when Cooper Kupp comes back. All I'm thinking is, Tutu Atwell is now going to get those open opportunities over the top that he hasn't had to go after. And now you go back to the way Sean McVay, you know, runs an offense, and you're like, this guy could be the Brandon Cooks of this offense, which is a great scenario for the Rams. That's not, you know, discounting the fact Tyler Higbee led the team in targets last week, and they still have Van Jefferson. And the way Kyron Williams is playing in the run game, I think eventually you could see them open up the run a little bit more because of the threat of Stafford. You know, I think you could see some lighter boxes in this game. I think still that defensive front is nasty. They could still dominate, but I think that's their best chance. And then you look at the Rams defense, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, because coming in the year, I thought the Rams would be better than people thought on the defensive side. I didn't think they'd be this good. They're seventh in the league in passing. They're, I believe, 13th in the run defense. You will be able to run against this Rams defense. You will. You know, I said that right away. Yeah, I said that right away when I saw Kenny Walker. You know, he ran for over 5 yards to carry in that Seattle game. And I'm like, man, if they didn't abandon the run in that game, like, he could have gone for 120. Then you look, you know, Joe Mixon pretty much held in check for the most part. Still, when it mattered the most, he was able to get those yards. And then you look at Christian McCaffrey, and you could say, you know, the Rams held him to 3.6 yards per carry except for that explosive, but that explosive was a big deal. And so I think a guy like DeAndre Swift, I'm also a big fan of Kenneth Gainwell. I think he's a little underrated as well. I think those guys can make things happen. So I think they'll definitely be able to run the ball. And then you have the talent on the outside, where while the Rams corners have played really well, and they have been challenged. They've gone against the likes of DK Metcalf. They've gone against Tyler Lockett, JSN, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, so forth. I still think there's some sort of, like, A.J. Brown is a physical receiver. Like, he's going to be able to use that body, and he's going to be able to box out defenders and things like that. So, I mean, Devontae Smith, still, he's an outstanding route runner. We've seen, and Cam, you can agree on this, because we saw it in Seattle week one, Darion Kendrick's susceptible to getting beat on those double moves. I do think, you know, Devontae Smith has a shot there, and I think A.J. Brown has a shot there. But I have to say, the thing you brought up with Witherspoon, I had someone on my show to talk about the Bengals, and they said that, you know, oh, Joe Burrow roasted Witherspoon the last time they played. And then he comes out, and Joe Burrow had a 3 passer rating when targeting Witherspoon. So this guy's just playing on another level for the Rams this year. I believe he's top 3 in passer rating targeted, and he's top three in catch percentage against him. So this guy's just balled out. So that's Simone, the interesting thing there.
Simone, any rebuttal to that, Simone? Any rebuttal to those keys? Any thoughts? Any thoughts there?
Well, first of all, it sounds like he loves all of our players, so you might as well put on the green.
I already put on the green before. Because
he's
know
going
that.
Down the roster. I love Kenny. I love Fletch. I love Jalen. I love Swift. But, okay, yeah, Witherspoon, okay, we'll see. Because, of course, he's going to want to get his get back against A.J. Brown. Now, A.J. Brown's made a lot of enemies because he talks a lot after plays and stuff. But when it comes to our secondary, like I said, we are down three starters in the secondary, but these guys are getting more reps, so they should be getting stronger. So we've got a guy, Josh Jobe, who's starting on the outside. This is first year starting. As the season goes on, hopefully as each week goes on, he will get better. We're moving James Bradberry to the slot at times. I know Cooper Kupp, if he comes back, I know what he can do. Right. I know what he can do to slot corners. And James Bradberry, that's not his natural position, but we are down. Avante Maddox and our backup slot corner, Zach McPherson, is out for the season. So sometimes we move James Bradberry to the slot, but he is a little slow there. His natural position is outside. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if Cooper Kupp does come back, what adjustments we're going to make. This is our Sean Desai. That's our defensive coordinator. This is his first season calling plays for us. And the adjustments haven't always been key. And we are going up against.
You're funny. We are going. Yeah, you're good. You know, it's good company.
I got to keep it. You know, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep it light on him.
Yeah.
But we are going up against a great play caller in the Rams. We did go up against one last week in Eric Bieniemy. So it's going to be interesting to see how the defense adjusts. We did sign someone yesterday, Bradley Roby, a slot corner. He spent last season with the Saints. He was with the Broncos during their Super Bowl run. He is 31. So I'm like, does he still have it? Is he washed? You know, like, can you keep up with Cooper Kupp?
Ooh, are Cam,
you
gonna- how does that feel?
I mean, Bradley Roby played at my rival school in Atlanta. So he went to Peachtree Ridge High School, played against Bradley. He played at Ohio State. So I know Bradley Roby pretty well. And one thing I will say is Bradley better eat his Wheaties and tie those shoes up and Cooper Kupp decides to play, because it's going to be a long day for Mr. Roby if he decides to step in that arena. That's all I got to say.
I don't know if he's going to play this week. He did practice today. We signed him yesterday. And he was already at practice in pads today. He said he's worked out with Slay. He's familiar with Cunningham from the time in Houston. He played with our starting safety who is injured, Justin Evans, in New Orleans. So he is familiar with a lot of guys on our defense. So I don't know if – I don't even know if I want him playing on Sunday. Like, do you even know the playbook yet? Like,
yeah, because if Puka Nacua gets lined up against a Cooper Kupp, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a long day if he does not know the playbook.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. We have to hit home because we can't give Matthew Stafford time to pick us apart. There's too many weapons. Matthew Stafford is way too smart. So that's the thing I'm worried about, it becoming a shootout because of we're down our two starting safeties. We're down our starting slot corner. We got our guy who's supposed to be on the outside playing on the inside. We've got basically a rookie undrafted free agent starting on the outside corner. And they're talking about the Triple Crown winners coming back this week. So I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. And I'll talk about the keys of victory that I think that's going to make sense. Just hearing you, Simone, I've been taking notes over here quietly, just listening, hearing what's going on. So what I'm hearing is the DBs are hurt. So, okay. And we do know that the defensive line is active. They weren't as active last week that you mentioned, but they this week expect them to be super active, because I know after film, they're like, guys, we didn't overtime. D-line, we didn't do our job here. We have to step up. So what I'll say is the Rams have to slow down that defensive line. Full stop. They're what do you say? I know the Rams have the dog mentality. I know also that the Eagles do too. Chris Long went over there from the Rams, and I think brought that face mask that he had on. But long story short,
so y'all originated the face mask.
Chris Long came from the Rams. That's all I'll say. He had to get that idea from somewhere. He might have started with the Rams a seed, and then when he got to the Eagles, he was like, oh, let's just get a mask and call it a day. I'm not sure. We're going to have to ask him there, Simone. But Chris Long is a Rams guy, so he might have started that here. So, But we got to slow down that defensive line, because you have an awesome defensive line. Like Jake read down that list there of his favorite players. Got to slow down defensive line by running the football. Kyrie Williams has to go off, right? He has to catch the football. Right. You don't want him to go off, but he has to. That's the only way to slow those guys down. And then the pass game, right? We think about the Rams offensive coordinator, how he stepped into this team, Michael Floor, and has been crushing it so far. He's been crushing it. And so, Simone, what I'm going to call out right now, you might want to call the Eagles, but those crossing routes, Simone, that the Rams run, you'll see it. Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell, they'll be flying across the middle of the screen where those linebackers are. I think that's where the Eagles will fall apart if the Rams can get those passes off. And then lastly, what I'll say is protecting the football. Stafford has to protect the football, because if not, the Eagles are going to come away with the win. Full stop. Full stop. That turnover margin has to be on the Rams' favor. If not, the Eagles are going riding off in the sunset. Simone, we're dapping you up on Twitter after, like, hey, you told us this was going to happen. So those are my takeaways there.
Well, the turnovers, we were like special teams getting turnovers. The defense was getting a lot of takeaways up until last week. And it's crazy because the Washington Commanders, they were like second in the league in like turnovers, fumbles, interceptions, all of that. And then all of a sudden, you know, we forgot how to, you know, get an interception. We forgot how to force a fumble. But that is because, you know, y'all know division games, like division rivals, y'all know that hits different. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, counts as two, as he always says. Yeah.
And the Washington Commanders were coming for blood that game, okay? So I feel like we'll get back on track. Like Jalen Carter, he's been in there forcing fumbles. Nicholas Morrow, he's been getting into the quarterback, getting a lot of sacks. You guys know Darius Slay. They want to talk trash about him on Twitter after last week, but y'all know Darius Slay going to get him a pick six, you know, in a game. So I feel like we'll be able to get some turnovers this game.
So last weekend, we can dive into that a little bit. Let's review kind of the last game against Washington and then the Rams' last game against the Colts. Both of those games went in overtime. They both went in overtime, and I was a little surprised, to be honest, Simone, to see that the Eagles went in overtime with Washington. So can you tell us, the Rams viewers, what the heck happened? Just so, you know, when we see the Eagles pretty soon here, we kind of know, like, hey, what went on last week?
That was totally out of character. I'm going to say, if you watch that game, there were tons of penalties in that game that should not have been called. First of all, they called a penalty on the brotherly shove, okay? Just because y'all other fan bases have been on Twitter, social media, crying about the brotherly shove.
I have not.
Okay, good. So they did call a penalty. First of all, Jonathan Allen's hands were on the ball when Jason Kelce was. It was so many egregious penalties that they were calling against the Eagles. So that kept us out of the game. But also our DBs, we were playing a really soft zone coverage. I don't know if we underestimated Sam Howell and his ability. We gave up so many third and longs. There was just so many like breakdowns from the defense. So many third and longs that just should not have been converted. There were so many times where Sam Howell was spinning around, juking guys, doing the absolute most. He looked like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to lie. He looked like Patrick Mahomes. I think we underestimated his ability. And then also, of course, going up against Eric Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy wanted, you know, he's on a mission to get a head coaching job. So every time they show him on the clipboard, he was like, he was doing like trigonometry. Like he was so intense. Like
locked in.
Washington was like, it was like that was their Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
They played the best football I've seen Washington play since RG3 against us. So I'm going to give them hats off. They had some help from the refs, but I don't think y'all can duplicate that because, again, it's a lot of history there. Y'all don't have that.
That's real. Jake, what are your thoughts, Jake, from watching that game? She talked about the referees stepping in. I know the Rams had some stuff with Tutu Atwell, tiptoe on the sideline. He didn't get the call. What were your thoughts on that Rams-Colts game there, Jake?
Oh, we cannot rehash the Bengals game. Everyone saw it. They took away two touchdowns from the Rams. Nope, none of them were penalties, for the record. So taking away two touchdowns that aren't penalties is insane, but we're moving forward, right? We move. The 24-hour rule is in effect. Yeah. The way I saw that game was that Sam Howell last week threw four interceptions. Mm-hmm. Everyone jumped off his bandwagon immediately following that Bills game. Everyone. Like, including myself. I was like, are we pushing too much on Sam Howell here? And so I think, honestly, there's a chance that the Eagles did, decide to go that route. And I think, to your point, playing that soft zone, hey, it's a rivalry game. We're going to play ball control. We're going to have them, you know, keep everything in front of them, limit the explosives of, you know, a Terry McLaurin or a Curtis Samuel or any of those guys, Dotson. And that's how we're going to play our defense. And then our offense can beat them. We'll hold them to at least 20 and we can score 21. There we go. That's how we win. That's not what happened, though. They were able to convert those with the soft zone. And so it completely kind of changes, because I could totally see what they were thinking going into that game. Like, oh, we're going to play like, you know, this manageable defense where just keep everything in front of them. The reason I say that, Simone, is because Cam and I watched it all of last year in 2022.
And don't break. Yeah.
They had an abysmal offense. I mean, they were starting third string quarterbacks, fourth string centers. Like, so I watched like the soft zone the whole season, to the point where people thought Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator, who, by the way, is one of the best in all of football for the Rams. Raheem Morris, people thought wanted to play soft zone. No. He was playing it to keep them in games that they shouldn't be in. And they were in every single game going into the fourth quarter, except for one last year because of that soft zone. But when it doesn't go well, now you have the defenses on the field forever. They're still giving up touchdowns, and your offense is good enough, but the Rams offense last year wasn't, and it can really kind of flip the game. So I think that's really what happened based on how I saw it. But I thought they did a great job against a guy who's had a lot of momentum in Brian Robinson the last few weeks. I thought he's really gotten going, and I thought the Eagles just absolutely stuffed him. And I just don't think, again, I have to repeat, for the people outside of the Eagles, Jalen Carter's already the second best defensive tackle. I think he's better than Chris Jones. Like, I'm saying that right now. I think he is behind Aaron Donald, but I think through four games, like, Jalen Carter is going to take over for Aaron Donald when he retires. Like, the torch will be passed to Jalen Carter. It comes so easy to him. It's so natural. It's not even a hot take. Every analytic on PFF proves my point. The pressures are there. He stops the run. He's a gap eater, but he's an elite athlete. And my man can run sideline to sideline, too. So he could chase down any quarterback. So the mobility thing isn't going to be, you know, an issue against him. Stafford doesn't have that mobility. So I am concerned. You get that pressure up the middle. Now I can't step into a pocket. There's no pocket to step into. And now you have Stafford, who's coming off a hip injury last week. He has to, you know, roll out to his right or his left. I don't like that.
Not good. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot there. I know we're coming up on time here. Simone, it's been absolutely fantastic. I think at one point, Jake might have to put on the Eagles outfit because he loves that team.
He loves all the players.
I wore a Westbrook jersey years ago as a little kid. So
To be fair, though, Simone, you all had one of the best drafts that we've seen. We covered the draft. Some of the players were on our list prior to. So there's a big love for that organization. What they've done has been excellent. So it's just hats off, respect to the Eagles organization. It's been really cool to see. But Simone, really quick, you know, a little bit more smack talk before we close this out. Final projections on score. What does that look like? Or if you should have to draw it up, like, hey, this is what the game is going to look like. You know, Jalen's going to throw this amount of touchdowns. What is that dream scenario for the Rams Eagles look like for you?
Like I said, this has to be a statement game for the Eagles because we know what we're going through, but the league, these talking heads, they don't want to give us credit. They don't see that, you know, we're down starters on the offensive line. We're down four starters on defense. They don't care. They just want to say, oh, we had a close game against the Patriots. But we have to make a statement this game. Defense has to make a statement. Offense has to make a statement. So I'll say the score would be what I hope is 17 Rams, 42 Eagles.
Oh.
Wow.
Talk your smack. Yes.
Good Lord.
Knockout. She gave us a knockout. That's a knockout punch.
I mean, man.
I've been saying this is my second time giving a score prediction for this game. The Washington Commanders, they had a drive that was almost 8 minutes long. Last game. That's the time, you know, the ball could have been in Jalen's hand. Boom, 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 boom. And like I said, I feel like the passing game is really going to get – we can't get away from the run now because, you know, we can't do that. The run's right. Working, keep running the ball. But I feel like A.J. Brown, you know, he knows y'all guy. We remember what happened last time. Hopefully that karma doesn't bite us from that taunt. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we'll be able to pick y'all's secondary apart, which will be quick scores.
Okay, I like that, Simone. That's a healthy battle there. I like that score you put up. You said 42-17. Jake, what you got to say, my guy?
Well, I think this is going to be a way closer game. I really felt going into this I was going to pick the Eagles, but I'm going to pick the Rams. And here's why. They've been on the road three of the last four games, okay? They've been in every game. They should have beaten the Niners. They lose Joe Noteboom and completely the game flipped. I think when you look at this team, if they get Cooper Kupp, they are going to be the most dangerous offense in football. They found one of the best receivers in the NFL draft in the fifth round, and he was their fourth, fifth round pick. Tutu Atwell has emerged, and he's going to give you that explosiveness over the top. And we all know what Tyler Higbee did to the Eagles last time he faced him, three touchdowns. So
that was a long time ago.
37-19? I didn't forget.
That's why I said 42-17.
I see you. So I do respect the Eagles a lot, but I do think that the Rams are for real. I've said it before the season started. People are trashing this team way more than they're trashing the Eagles. They were saying tank for Caleb. There's going to be no tanking for Caleb because Matthew Stafford and company are going to win this game. And what they're going to do is Raheem Morris is going to limit the possessions that Jalen Hurts has. They're going to get the turnovers that people don't think they can get. And then eventually what they're going to do is by taking the lead and controlling the clock, they're going to take away the run game. The run game will work, but the Eagles can't stick with it if they're losing. So I think the Rams finally at home, not having to travel. And I think they have one of the best quarterbacks playing just about as well as any quarterback in the league. The stats don't indicate that. I think that the Rams are going to win this game 27-24. I do.
24-21, I got Rams again, Simone, just because, you know, like, we got to, you know, you're on here, we're on here, we gotta, you know, pick different sides, right? But 24-21 to me, Simone, you say 42-17 Eagles. Wow. I mean, wow.
Look, if this is a close game, if we lose this game, like, don't look on any of my social media pages. Don't look on YouTube. I can't take another heart attack. I've been having heart attacks for 4 weeks straight.
Yeah, all good. Dinner on you if the Rams win this one. Dinner on us if the Eagles win it. But Simone, this has been absolutely fabulous. I can't wait till the next time we chat ball, because I know you chat everything sports in general, not just Eagles. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And Simone, any last words to the group or just the listeners, right, as they listen to the Eagles? The Eagles Rams banter. Any last words for the fans there?
Like I said, I appreciate Rams fans. Y'all keep it cordial. I wish the Niners fans would take notes from y'all. You know, have some
never
respect.
Happening.
They're an unruly group.
I wish they would. You know, y'all would rub off on them a little bit. You know, simmer down, Ram. You know, I think we'll all be rooting. Who are we rooting for this week? Dallas or
Dallas. You gotta root for Dallas. And then I understand you're an Eagles fan. You gotta root for Dallas. You think Dallas stands a chance against the Eagles as far as winning the division? No. So you
what the Niners are to y'all, Dallas is to us. If they beat the Niners, I'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Cowboys, though. Like, the Niners, they win divisions at the very least. They don't win Super Bowls, right? But they win divisions. They have about a 15-year run that kept them relevant. The Dallas Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since I was born. So, you know, the way I see it, they're not winning divisions. They're not winning Super Bowls. The Eagles are clearly the best team. I will say the weird thing about your division is every single year there's a different winner in
that
division.
But the last team to repeat in the NFC East was the Eagles.
Oh
yeah. So I mean, I don't see why they won it. They're by far the best team. I don't know what happened to the Giants. I thought they'd be a lot better than this.
Brutal. And Simone, I'll say this before we finish up. Quick story about the 49ers. You talk about how the Cowboys, you don't like those fans. The 49ers, well, I played for the Rams. So after my games, my family comes to the game. We're from LA, right? Mind you, we're in LA. We're playing the 49ers this week. My family members are 49ers fans, so they're like, hey, Cam, we're going to be wearing 49ers gear to this game, by the way. Like, we're going to see you after the game in the family section, but we're going to be wearing 49ers gear respectfully. And it's been like that every year of my career. And so the 49ers fans, there's something else, Simone. So you know how I feel about them. I don't really like them like that. I respect them, but I don't really like them.
Why do you like that, though?
He's got a Raiders story, too.
He had
little kids flipping him the bird.
Oh my gosh. The West Coasters are different.
I'm in upstate New York. I never see any of that. So,
Wow. But Simone, this has been absolutely fabulous, though. We really appreciate you coming on and looking forward to the next time we get to chat.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Absolutely.